Lecture topic, the future of our children.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillahi wa kafa'a wa salatu wa salamu ala ibadihi alladhina astafa. Amma ba'du fa'audhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. ربنا إني أسكنت من ذريتي بواد غير ذي زرع عند بيتك المحرم ربنا ليقيموا الصلاة فاجعل أفئدة من الله تعالى has afforded us this opportunity. Allah Ta'ala gathered us. This little time that we have is very, very valuable, very precious. It's a very great gift and ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. May Allah Ta'ala make this gathering a means of tremendous khair and barakah, and make it a means of hidayat for myself, for all of us. The purpose why we have gathered, mashallah, parents are present, mothers also listening, and many children are present as well, but the address is to ourselves as parents, that Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with an extremely great ni'mat and bounty of children. On the one side, this is a great ni'mat and bounty. At the same time, it is a very great responsibility. So to understand what is this responsibility and how to fulfill this responsibility, inshallah, this is what we will try to discuss in the short time that we have. To understand how great this ni'mat is. So if a person, for example, starts off a business and the business starts bringing in a lot of profit, he was expecting maybe every month he'll earn maybe 10,000, 15,000. But this business is suddenly bringing him 50,000, maybe 100,000 every month. He will be extremely delighted. He will be very, very excited about it, that this business is now bringing so much of profit for him. But now supposing that business after a while, for a few months, maybe 1-2 years, it suddenly came to a stop. So he'll be happy about what came, but very sad at the loss now that this is over, now it closed down. So he is looking for a business that can continue. And such a business that though he knows he's not going to live forever, but when he's gone from here, his children must continue with it, they must be able to benefit from it, and then his grandchildren must be able to benefit. He's looking for something that doesn't stop. But the reality is that dunya is dunya. Sooner or later everything stops. We're going to stop, and one day this whole world is going to stop. But when we leave this dunya, then none of these things are going to be of any benefit to us. And what that day is coming in everybody's life. We're going to leave this world, we're going to have to go to the akhirat. So when we leave this world, then that business may help somebody else perhaps for that short while, but it's not going to help us in any way. So we're looking for an investment that doesn't stop. So in the Hadith Sharif, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that إِذَا مَاتَ ابْنُ آدَمْ إِنْ قَطَعَ عَمَلُهُ إِلَّا مِنْ ثَلَاثٍ. When this insan passes away, when he leaves this dunya, then all his actions stop. He can't perform salah anymore, he can't fast anymore, he can't give any more zakat and charity, he cannot make any tilawat of the Quran Sharif, he can't do it, he's gone from this dunya. But there are certain things, the benefit of it continue for him while he's in his grave. So what is sadaqatin jariya? He contributed towards some good cause. He contributed towards the masjid, towards some well from which people now are drawing water, they're drinking the water. He bought some Islamic literature, some Quran. The children were going to madrasa, he helped them with the Quran Sharif, the kitab, their books for the madrasa. Now they're learning from that. So sadaqatin jariyatin. Our ilmin yuntafa'u bihi, or knowledge which he has passed on and which people are benefiting from. And the third thing which is related to our topic, awwaladin salihin yad'u lah, or a pious child. For after the parent has gone from dunya, that child is still making dua for the parent. So waladin salihin, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, this is an investment. An investment beyond all the investments of this dunya, because all this will stop. When a person is gone, this can't benefit him anymore. His shop can't benefit him, his job can't benefit him, nothing can benefit him when he's gone in the grave. But these things will benefit him. The good deeds that he did, which now have an ongoing benefit. And among them, that pious child who keeps making dua for the parent, does good actions, the parents are also getting the reward for that. That is a true investment. This shows us what a great opportunity Allah Ta'ala gave us. That one day we're going to leave this dunya, how to leave behind such investments that they will continue being righteous, being pious, making dua for us. Not that 1-2 days after we're gone, they forget about us. They also worried about the dunya only. With regards to children, one concept and one thinking mindset is that of the West, the Western lifestyle, Western mindset and thinking. The Western mindset is, because people without iman, their entire thinking is only about dunya. They have no idea about anything beyond that. This dunya is a very temporary place, and the akhirat is everlasting. But they're only thinking about this temporary place because they have no idea about the everlasting life. So now when that child is growing up in that home, so they have a different thinking. What is the thinking? The thinking is that this child must become a money-making machine. That's what this child must become. From the child's very early ages, this is what is drummed into the child's heart and mind. That you have to earn and earn and earn, and that must be your purpose. Because no other purpose in life. There's no hereafter that they believe in. They got no understanding that qabr, there's a life in the qabr as well. They have no understanding of qiyamah and the questions on the day of qiyamah. They have no belief that yes, there's Jannah, and Allah forbid if the person didn't live his life correctly with iman and amal, then is Jahannam also. So now everything is only about dunya. So now the child is growing up also, everything is about dunya. So right from the very early ages, and now is getting earlier and earlier, before the child, when he's about 6 years old, now they start talking about some schooling. Then it became like 5 years old. Now it became 4 years old. Now you even hear the child is 3 years old, they're looking for a school, for some kind of some school. Allah knows best what kind of school for a three-year-old child. This is just on the side. But Allah Pak knows best whether soon, when the child is about to be born, they say you have to buy the nappies and buy the syllabus also. But now everything is about that the child must get educated for dunya. This is the thinking and the mindset, that only about dunya, everything about dunya, come what may, nothing must come in the way of this education for dunya. Then whether it is anything about deen, any religion, that too on the side, this is the main thing. And then as time goes, that child also grows up like that. Doesn't matter what and doesn't matter who, nobody must come in the way of my dunya. So even afterwards, no matter who it is also, sometimes his own parents too, because his whole mind and heart is about dunya. And the parents become a barrier in his dunya, in making the dunya and in enjoying the dunya. Then even the parents can be put one side too. That unfortunately is the lifestyle of the West. This is the thinking of people who don't have iman, who don't have any idea about akhirat. who don't have any intention and zeal to reach Jannat because they don't even know about it. So they have no iman, and this is how they live their life. But what is the outcome of this? Did they get what they want? It's just a deception. One researcher has written his research. So he studied the richest families in America from 1900 to 1960. So now this was the time period. This was done some 40, 50 years ago. So this research was done 50 years ago. The richest families, 50 richest families in America that were in the time period from the 1900 to 1960. And now after he did this research, went and looked into everybody's lives and spoke to them and sorted this. Afterwards he wrote his conclusion. He says, I found the majority, few exceptions only. The majority, their lives were full of misery, suicide, alcoholism, drugs, and now suicide, that they don't even live now, they want to take their own life. And whereas they were the richest families, so now the richest families, why this happened? They got more money that they can use. Whatever money can buy, they got enough money for it. And what is not available, they got more money for that too. And yet they got no life. They want to commit suicide. Why? Because the parents were only interested in making them into money-making machines. So they didn't teach them values. They didn't teach them how to become good human beings. And good human beings, those who have iman, not just good human beings, far beyond that, become good Musalman, become good Muslims, who live far better than ordinary human beings. Now they didn't teach them that. They only taught them how to become money-making machines. So they made a lot of money. But in that process, they destroyed their life. They destroyed dunya, and they had no akhirat also. So just making a child a money-making machine is to put him onto the path of this kind of destruction. The Western lifestyle, as we mentioned, they got no concept of akhirat, no iman, no belief in the hereafter, no accountability that they believe in, that they have to account for their deeds on the day of Qiyamah. All this is going to happen. So because they made dunya their everything, so it didn't matter now what happens, but dunya must get made. One of the things they did, that they threw their woman also out into the dunya. The system Allah Ta'ala created for us is that men have their role, they have their responsibilities, they have to go and earn for the needs of the family. Women have their responsibility, they have their function, they have their role, they have to look after the needs of the home, take care of all the affairs at home. Now both parties play their role. There's a very healthy family, and many, many healthy families make up a very healthy society and community. And when this is spread far and wide, then you find the entire community producing people who become great assets to themselves and the whole community and the whole ummah at large. But it starts off with the building blocks of that home. Each home is like one brick. Now you're building putting one brick in the wall. That each home, now that whole structure came, but every brick counts. So now each home functions properly when the right roles are being played by each party. What the Western lifestyle did, say, no, this is all outdated. This is all old-fashioned. So what has to happen now? Everybody must be sane. So every man and every woman must be sane. Otherwise something is a problem. So now every man and woman can be sane. Is that possible? If every man must be the same as every woman, then every man also must wear some dress someday and walk around. But that nobody is ready for, and cannot be ready for, obviously. So now this was a corrupted idea. But they said, no, it must happen. And just as every man earns, every woman must be out there in the dunya earning also. And what became the outcome? The outcome was this, that there was no home left. And no home left. So this is also going back maybe about 35 years ago's research, which I just remember reading long time ago, that 1 in 3 homes in America was a broken home. 1 in 3, 1/3, 35 years ago. Or at least 30 years ago this was read. So that time this was 1 in 3, Allah knows best what it is now. Because that system is corrupted. It cannot work for what it's meant to work. The building block is that family, that home. And all the healthy families make up that healthy society. And in that healthy society, mashallah, then there's so much of khair and barakah and goodness. And there's happy homes, happy families, happy individuals. Individuals who grow up with healthy minds because they're growing up in a steady home. And a home where there's this guidance, this direction. But in the Western society, it's everyone fend for themselves. We'll all live together for convenience. But our only job is make the child a money-making machine, then he must also carry on with his money-making. But then his life collapses, parents, they don't see each other, parents don't see children for years sometimes. They don't even know the child, where he is, what's going on. The child don't know what's going on with the parent. Once a year, maybe Father's Day, Mother's Day, they'll give them one card, one present, finish, done, job over. This is the end result of the Western thinking, Western mindset, Western lifestyle. That it broke everything down. All they got left with money, but that money brought no happiness. All they got left with was dunya, but that dunya brought no goodness. That dunya itself became the misery. This is unfortunately that which the world the Western life presented to the world, and the tragedy is that unfortunately people of weak iman started looking at the covering. Sometimes you get a present, so now maybe a small thing inside, but a very, very attractive covering. So somebody saw the very covering, the glittering, shiny paper, big box, thought, maybe terrific thing this is. Opened it inside, was a small item, worth nothing. He got very disappointed. Why he got deceived by the covering? This is what the Western lifestyle is. Outside it's looking very glamorous, but inside is this entire broken society. This on the one side is the lifestyle of the West and what the end result is. What is the thinking and the mindset of a person of Iman? What has the Quran Sharif taught us in this regard? What is the lifestyle that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam displayed and demonstrated to us? So to very briefly understand this in the light of one ayat of the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala mentions the incident of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, we know his story, many times we've heard. When he was now very elderly, at that age Allah Ta'ala blessed him with this little child, Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. And now this little child, still a baby, and Allah Ta'ala's command comes, that leave this child with the mother together in this barren place where now the Kaaba Sharif is, Makkah Mukarramah, where the Kaaba Sharif is, in that area, in that place. Go and leave this child, the mother and the child in this place and go away. Now if we think about it with our thinking, our logic, any human logic, if somebody thinks with it, then that human logic can't make sense of this. That a young, that a lone woman with a little baby must be left alone in this barren place and he must go away. How are they going to survive? But now Allah Ta'ala is teaching us through these examples of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam that remember your rizq is from Allah Ta'ala. Allah alone is the provider. And the person who submits to Allah Ta'ala, who fully and wholeheartedly gives himself to Allah Ta'ala, fulfills the commands of Allah Ta'ala, then sometimes a little test can come. But Allah will grant him what he is looking for. What he is looking for is that peace and contentment, that serenity. Allah will give him that. And in dunya, his dunya will be successful because he'll get the real objective of dunya. And the main thing is it'll become the means of success of the hereafter. So any case, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he now, Allah's command, there's no question of not fulfilling it. So he comes and he leaves them there. The lengthy incident time is short, but in any case, now when he's turning to leave, so his wife is concerned, are you leaving us here and going away? Now there's little bit of food, little bit of water maybe. In a short while this will be finished. And then what? And now this is not somewhere close to some city. This was barren. Far off, nothing. No people, no nothing. So now she's also insan. She's a human being. She's concerned. So she asks a question. You're leaving us here? But he doesn't answer because that was a command. Don't answer anything. So second time she asks, no answer. Third time she asks the question differently. That is this the command of Allah? So he indicates yes. So now she's alone in this barren place. Nobody to look after her. She's got a little baby. There's no food and little bit of food, water will get finished just now. How are they going to survive? When she didn't know yet, it was Allah's command, she asked the question. But now that she's told it's Allah's command, her answer is, إِذَنْ لَا يُدَيِّعَنَا. If that is the case, Allah will not allow us to be destroyed. Allah will protect us. Because if this is being done according to Allah's command, Allah will protect us. This is the thinking of a mu'min, that Allah alone is a provider. And that rizq will come with ease when we are obedient to Allah Ta'ala. Then now Ibrahim alayhi salam turns to leave. So they are left behind. Now he moves off, out of sight. And then he turns to Allah Ta'ala and makes dua. He's also insan. He is concerned. Full trust in Allah Ta'ala. But human concern now that everything must go well. So now he's making dua to Allah Ta'ala. He's teaching us that we have this concern. Whatever concerns we have to turn it to Allah Ta'ala. The concerns, we have to beg Allah's help. So many times for the concerns we have, we do a lot of things, but we forget to make dua. We forget to make Salatul Hajah and make dua. Ibrahim alayhi salam is teaching us, turn to Allah Ta'ala. So now he turns to Allah Ta'ala. What dua he makes? رَبَّنَا إِنِّي أَسْكَنْتُ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي زَرْعٍ عِنْدَ بَيْتِكَ الْمُحَرَّمِ. I talking to Allah Ta'ala, Ya Allah, I left my family here in this valley which is totally barren, near the sacred house. The Kaaba Sharif was already built long ago by Ibrahim alayhi salam, by Adam alayhi salam, and then was destroyed in the floods of the time of Noah alayhi salatu wasalam, but the foundations were there. So this is what he's referring to. Ya Allah, I've left them there, meaning on your order. Now why? Why I left them here? What I want them to do here? Left them on your order, but what must they do now? رَبَّنَا لِيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. First concern, Ya Allah, that they establish salah in their lives. Rizq, the provider is Allah alone. And the means with which that rizq comes, one of the most important means is punctuality on the 5 daily salah. Now we sometimes forget this completely. People want to put their daughters out in the world for earning rizq, but they're not teaching them salah. Whereas they should keep them at home and teach them salah. Teach them things that are necessary, how to run a home. How to be able to maintain a good home. But now they throw them out into the dunya, but the most fundamental aspect of deen they lost. So as a result, everything becomes even more complicated. رَبَّنَا لِيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. Number one, he asked for, Ya Allah, make deen come alive in them. And the most important aspect of deen, salah. Then, they are going to be alone here, they will need some company, they need some security. فَجْعَلْ أَفْئِدَةً مِنَ النَّاسِ تَهْوِي إِلَيْهِمْ. Ya Allah, you make the hearts of people inclined towards them, so that they'll want to stay here with them. They'll want to be, so now they'll have some company, they'll also have some sense of security. And then وَرْزُقْهُمْ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ. Ya Allah, you grant them rizq, thamarat, of all their needs. And why? What they must do out of this? لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْكُرُونَ. So that they are grateful servants. Starting off with salah, and shukr finishing off. Shukr is obedience to Allah Ta'ala completely. That is the main shukr. And then the verbal shukr also. So in between was dunya. But started off with the most important aspect of deen, and finished off also with deen, in between the concern of dunya. That is the thinking and the mindset of a mu'min. Starts off with deen, most important first step is deen, and last step is deen. And in between we'll take care of the dunya according to deen. In terms of deen, the mindset and the heart that deen has given us and taught us to have in terms of our children. So in the hadith sharif, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, مَا نَحَلَ وَالِدٌ وَلَدًا مِن نَحْلٍ أَفْضَلَ مِن أَدَبٍ حَسَنٍ. Every parent wants to give the child a gift of some sort, especially now the child has graduated from something, now needs a very big gift. So now what is the best gift to give a child? So no harm in giving some material gift, something within somebody's means, that is a correct thing to give, not something that's going to be used in some wrong way, something that's going to harm the child in his deen, in his dunya. But now people want to give gifts. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us what's the best gift that somebody can give his child. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that a parent has never given their child a gift. Now, we think nowadays of gift, what first thing will come to mind? Maybe what kind of phone to give the child. And what kind of phone to give the child? That is like the first choice for something that now exciting happened, the child passed exam, something. What phone you can give the child? So what phone to give the child is like saying this child, mashallah, passed, etc. You know that very big knife which I used to slaughter the ox. Such a wonderful knife it is. Let me give that knife to the child. Saw how sharp it was. One stroke and that whole ox was slaughtered. So useful it is. So now that sharp knife you want to give a 10-year-old child now, for example. So it's a very useful tool, but what's going to be the case? He's going to start, maybe within 1 hour he'll cut his fingers off. He doesn't know how to use that responsibly. In a responsible manner, he don't know how to use it. So before long he's going to cut his fingers off, and it's going to lead to his death. So we also, in that excitement, we give our children something, before long they've destroyed their haya, they destroyed their modesty and shame, they destroyed their morals and character with that so-called smartphone, what not happens. So in any case, coming back to this hadith sharif, so Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam says the best gift that a parent can give his child is the gift of adabin hasan, good character, good akhlaq. In other words, making a human being, and making that human being with the akhlaq of iman, because he's a Musliman, he's a Muslim, he has iman, with the akhlaq that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught. So now that child grows up, that child has learned to recognize Allah Ta'ala, that child has learned to appreciate the sacrifices of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam and follow in his Mubarak lifestyle. That child has learned what is the value of parents, and what is the respect of parents, and what is the value of serving parents, and how must treat parents correctly. That child has learned how to treat the spouse correctly. Now that all that translates into what? It translates into a very healthy home, a happy environment in the home, and that home where everything is, the hearts are united, people are taking care of each other's needs. They are respecting one another. They are treating one another with kindness, with compassion, with generosity, with forgiveness. All this came from where? Because the right gift was given. The right gift was now Adab bin Hasan. This greatest gift that a parent can give their child, this is what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is encouraging us to pay attention to. So where is this gift? How is it going to be given to a child? So one is, every home has to become a home where deen is alive. And every home must have ta'aleem in that home, have time for tilawat of the Quran Sharif in that home, have time for zikr and dua in that home. Every home must be a home of deen, and where the lessons of the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam are learned, taught. So this is the first effort that has to be made. Especially now that we're getting close to this holiday season, which is a very dangerous time. Dangerous time, many people get only concerned about the danger to their physical self, to their properties, to their wealth. More dangerous than that is for our iman. Because the whole environment becomes so full of sin and vice. So we have to protect ourselves, protect our children. Then the other very important, the second very important aspect is the maktab. This is where the children are sent to learn their deen, and where they are taught this adab in hasan, this good character, good akhlaq, what are the morals, what are the values, what is the etiquette. So we have to give the highest priority to the deeni education of our children. The dunya education is another whole chapter. No harm in learning something that will help one to earn his risk, his livelihood, provided it is within the limits of Shariat. Deen hasn't forbidden that. Person is learning some skill, he's becoming some whatever, some carpenter, he's becoming a whatever other field he might be taking on, whatever he might be doing, which is provided is within the limits of Shariat, no problem. But that is only going to help for a short while in dunya. But what's going to help past this dunya also is our deeni education. That is the first priority. That must not be compromised for anything. And we have to ensure if our child is in the maktab, that he's continuing after maktab closes in the holidays, there's still learning and teaching taking place, there's still revision happening, they're still reciting Quran at home, and there's still deen alive. Those of our children who may not be in the maktab, we make every effort to now make sure that next year they are in the maktab. Sure. Then together with that, those of our sons who have grown up, they are 15 years old now and more, so now we encourage them in the holidays to go out in the path of Allah Ta'ala, to spend their time in a good environment, to learn that some things that will boost their iman. And then together with that, the very, very important aspect and the very big need is that we have to give our daughters also the correct deeni education. Otherwise, the whole future is in a very, very dangerous position. Because they are going to be the mothers of tomorrow. And as the mothers of tomorrow, if they don't have the correct deeni education, the next generation will be lost. So we have to make every effort, lot of concern. This is the priority. We might make a lot of money, but we don't make the next generation of mothers, those who have deen in their lives, then the next generation will lose deen. So we have to pay a lot of attention, make a lot of fikr, be a lot of concern, thinking about what can be done, what we have to do to give our daughters the correct deeni education and deeni upbringing. As far as the worldly education is concerned, to start off with, that environment in which they go to acquire it, 99.9% of the time is a very dangerous environment. And many people, many young people in these environments got completely lost with their deen, with their akhlaq, with their haya, with everything. So the priority is the dini education of our children and especially our daughters. We have to make fikr how we can direct them in this direction. And Allah will take care of their dunya. We give them the correct morals, the correct akhlaq, the correct upbringing of how to run a home correctly, how to look after a family properly. Otherwise, unfortunately, what has become the general thing is that up to quite late in life already, they're still busy studying. They've had no time to learn how to run a home. And as a result, when the time suddenly came for them to move on in life, then whatever happens, Allah forbid, what's the outcome? So the dini education of our daughters, inshallah, there's some hope, there's some discussion about it. There might be a girls madrasa that will start maybe next year, early next year, in the morning hours, for our girls to be able to attend here, get their dini education and the basic necessities that they need to learn in terms of running their lives. Inshallah, they'll learn that too. We should already start thinking in this line. Inquire, inshallah, from the people around that when is this going to be happening, how it will happen, etc. We'll get the details all still in the early stages of discussion. But inshallah, Allah Ta'ala make it a reality. That this becomes the direction that we take. Deen is our priority. When we leave this dunya, we're not going to take anything from dunya and go. But the deen will come along with us, our iman, our amal. And those children we left behind who had deen with them, then they'll become the investment for us. And we're gone in the qabr, they will make dua for us. They will continue living good lives. Lives as good Muslims. As a result of which we'll get the benefit in our qabr. So this is what we have to be concerned about, making dua for, encouraging one another. Shaitan, in these kind of things, puts all kinds of waswasa in the mind, all kinds of doubts and evil thoughts. We have to make tawbah from all that and encourage one another towards this path of righteousness. وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. Allah Ta'ala says, help one another in the acts of righteousness, of piety. Don't help one another in acts of sin and vice and transgression. Allah Ta'ala give me and all of us the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Allahumma la nuhsi thana'an alayka antaka ma athnayta ala nafsik. Jazallahu anna nabiyyana muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bima huwa ahlu. Allahumma aftah lana bil khayr wa akhtim lana bil khayr. وجعل عاقب أمورنا بالخير بيدك الخير إنك على كل شيء قدير ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين وجعلنا للمتقين إماما ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار ربنا وآتنا ما وعدتنا على رسلك ولا تخزنا يوم القيامة إنك لا تخلف الميعاد اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا إنك جامع الناس ليوم لا ريب فيه إن الله لا يخلف الميعاد اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.